Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Another fine Saturday morning. Well, sort of fine. Okay. In some situations, but not in all situations. But today, there is a lot, as there is, I guess, almost every Saturday, a lot to discuss. Today is another anniversary for myself and WIP. 12 years ago today, on this very date, September 2nd, 2011, which at that time it was a Friday, the beginning of a holiday weekend, which this weekend is, I had the honor of doing the first show on then 94.1, Sports Radio WIP. For years, I did the show since 1986 when I did the first one, and that was August 29th, 1986, the first sports talk show on WIP. I was honored to do the first show on 94.1, Sports Radio WIP. Another era of radio success for WIP. So, and most sports talk stations are now on FM. But whatever, it's another anniversary for me, another milestone for WIP and for myself. So we can do a lot of things, and we're going to do a lot of things, I hope, today. It's 1 week until the Eagles finally play a real football game. 1 week. And I've heard some crazy numbers of wins that people are predicting. And you got to understand, this is going to be tough. So this is going to be, it's a very difficult schedule. The travel schedule is very difficult. And I know people make it, I talk about travel. Travel is a factor with football games. It really is a factor. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's a factor. And the schedule is a factor. The teams they're playing are going to be, and there's going to be a lot of good football teams. Now, the first week, I'm not worried about New England, although I don't think it'll be an easy game. I think they should win the game. The second week, everybody says, they'll beat Minnesota at home on a Thursday night. Yeah, I do too, but I just think it's going to be a tough game. And, there's things that happen. Then the third game is a Monday night in Tampa, and they should win that game. So it sounds so easy. But coming off a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl loss, remember, Kansas City they're still terrific. After they lost a Super Bowl, they didn't get back the next year. It's only happened once in the last 28 years, and I've mentioned this, when a team has lost the Super Bowl, that they got back once in 28 years. It's not easy. But are they good? Yeah. The Eagles are the best team. They're the best team in the NFC. I don't think there's any question about that. They're the best team in the NFC. And they have the best quarterback in the NFC. And I wouldn't question that either. But history is history. 20 years, the same team, for 20 years, the same team is not repeated as a division winner. Now, I don't think there's any other teams in the division, the NFC East, that are as good as the Eagles. But anyway, we can discuss it. That I heard John Ritchie is delusional. 15-2. They're not going to be 15-2. Everybody hopes the Eagles are 15-2. They're not going to be 15-2. And then I just by accident was looking through different things, and I heard Jake Tapper, who is an anchor, does a show on CNN, who's a Philadelphia guy and a Philadelphia Eagles fan, 16-1. That's delusional. That is delusional. So those are one of the things. I want to hear your predictions. Those are one of the things that we'll talk about today. The Phillies. The Phillies, everybody is pumped up that the Phillies are real contender. Well, they're a contender for the World Series. But the Phillies are, oh, they're on a roll, and they're going to the World Series. And it's not that they're going to be in the playoffs. We know that. They're going to be in the playoffs. But it's there's just something, it's not all there. As I have said publicly, I think next year and the year after, I think they are real World Series contenders. They'll have some young players that they develop. They'll fill in some holes that they need to fill in. And they've got to change one thing. And then, you know, these kiss-ass writers that cover the Phillies, and not all of them, but a lot of them are kiss-ass writers, reporters, writers, whatever you want to call them. They have this record since June, and this day, like, it makes no difference. The Phillies have trouble, and this is an issue because it changes in the playoffs. The Phillies have trouble scoring without home runs. And you've got to get base hits to knock in runs. Last night, okay, they lose on an error. But the only way they scored was the only way, or the real way they scored, are with home runs. That is not going to happen in the playoffs because the pitching gets better. The home runs for teams decrease. You're going to hit home runs, but you're not going to hit as many as the Phillies are hitting. Look at the last night, the example. The first six hitters for the Phillies had two hits. They were both home runs. The first six hitters, Schwarber, everybody's as a leadoff hitter, I'm still not. I still don't like him as a leadoff hitter. He's hitting 189. I don't care if he walks. Whatever. He didn't walk last night. But he hit a home run to lead off the game. Oh, when Kyle Schwarber leads off the game with a home run, I think the Phillies were 9-0. They're irrelevant numbers. Irrelevant unless you look at the teams they play. So he hits a home run. In the eighth inning, Turner gets his first hit of the game. He hits a three-run homer. But you can't sustain winning in the bigger games when that's all you do is knock in runs with home runs. Nobody cares about strikeouts anymore, and all the teams have strikeouts, and the Phillies had 13. Milwaukee had 14, so nobody cares about strikeouts. But you've got to have more than two hits out of your first six hitters, and you can't just hit home runs and hope you're going to win the bigger games. And that's my issue. I mean, the pitching is okay. The bullpen, Kimbrel starting to leak oil. I was never a Kimbrel fan, but he did a good job. And the reason he had as many saves as he had is because Alvarado got hurt. But Alvarado didn't pitch well last night. I don't know what you do for a closer now. I don't know how many people are confident in Kimbrel. We can talk about that. That's one of the other things we'll talk about. I just think they need, and I don't think that's going to change. They're not a team that moves runners around the bases. They're not a team that scores enough with men in scoring position. And they're not a team that scores without home runs. So, we'll talk about, are they a good team? Yeah, they're a good team. Are they a playoff team? Well, obviously they're a playoff team. But can they get to the World Series the way they play the game? So we'll talk about that. And we can relive some of the moments people have, and I've seen it on social media, have memories of things that I've done. But, you know, it's memories that you remember, not that I remember, of things, callers that go back in all the years. And as I said earlier, it's a 12-year anniversary on FM. but there was a lot of years before that on 610. But we can talk about that. And I guess since Chuck from Mount Airy, I guess because his 15 minutes of fame are almost up, and so we can kind of deal with the callers and give Chuck the last minute and 30 seconds of his 15 minutes of fame, and we can talk about that. The callers, best, worst, and there's some callers that are happy about it and some callers that are not, because they think they're the best. Everybody's the best caller. If you have any memories of callers, there's one caller that I remember that I really think it was the best, and he's passed away. I won't mention his name because somebody might bring his name up. But anyway, we'll deal with the callers. If you want to talk about the callers, the best and the worst. there are some of the worst, and there are some of the best. We can talk about that. At 9:40 today, it's a bigger day in college football. And it is a bigger day in college football than it was last week. But last week started it, and Mark Lawrence will join us, as he does at 9:40, to take a look at the college football. We'll deal with that. And then next week, obviously, we start the pros. So, we'll have Mark on it at 9:40. And the question today, since the Bryce Harper home run, by the way, it was a loss. Unfortunately for the Phillies, it was a loss. The Bryce Harper home run, which was 300 and it gave him the lead, was a gigantic home run. But we made it out to the end-all, be-all of, and it wasn't the greatest moment in Philadelphia sports. The greatest moment in Philadelphia sports. Simple question to win the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. Check out all the great food, catering. You can do mail order, all the great stuff at debruno.com. So the question, greatest moment in Philadelphia sports. All right, let's head to the phones and let's go to Lamont. Lamont, you're on WIP.
Yeah, Howard. Thanks for taking my call. Glad Donald Trump is out of here. Left Atlanta, I think it was last Wednesday.
I don't like to bring that up. This country is such a total mess. I don't want to bring up any of that stuff because then you create anger from both sides.
Exactly. The Phillies, hopefully Alec Bohm recover from that debacle last night. I'm looking forward to him today to recover from that. There's the hope that don't happen in the playoffs because he's really going to get ripped. Do you think the Phillies got a chance to win the 90 games this year?
Well, they should win 90 games. They have 74 now. I think the number's 74.
I
didn't think at the beginning of the season they were going to win 90, but they should win 90 games if they have 74 now.
Yeah, but this team got another losing streak in them. It seemed like it happens around, I don't know. I just hope I'm wrong. I think
every team has a losing streak in them except the Dodgers and the Braves. And how good are the Braves? They go to L.A. and they win the first two games of that series.
Tom Kelly thinks the Phillies can beat the Braves and the Dodgers. I can't believe he said that
who?
The other night on the
Tom
radio.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Well, he's an idiot and a dope.
I mean, I know
can
we won
yes.
the World Series last year, but
no,
come on.
I don't see. They're not better than the Braves and the Dodgers.
I mean, when he said that, I wanted to call so bad, but I couldn't because I was at work. But best moment in Philadelphia sports. Now, I hope this does qualify it. How I never thought. I've been a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles since 1978 when I was 9 years old, starting life football. I never thought I'd see a Super Bowl for the Eagles. It has to be the Super Bowl win at, against the Patriots. Take care, Howard.
All right, see you later. Yeah, that's a pretty easy one, and I don't know if that'll be the winner. I mean, that was a great moment, but that was a game. I don't know if that was a moment. So I, you know, I qualify Lamont Super Bowl 52, but it was, that's a game. I'm looking for just a moment. And there were many moments in that game. So if you have a moment, there are so many. I mean, there's not a lot of championships in Philadelphia sports, but there are so many great moments in Philadelphia sports. And as cranked up as we got with the 300th home run by Bryce Harper, that's not even in the top. That's probably not even in the top 10. Because you got to consider the result of the game. And the result, and it was a great moment, but it didn't last long because the next inning is when the Angels came back and won the game. So it was wonderful. It was great. But it can't be. Well, it can be, but I don't think it's in the top 10. And it was a great moment. At that moment, there's no question. And Rob Thompson is not humorous many times when he speaks to the media. And it's not a lot of humor that comes out of it. And he's a good guy. He's a really good guy. But there's not a lot of humor. He's Canadian. So, you know, he just kind of low-keys it. But when somebody brought up that Bryce said he hit the home run when he heard Chuck from Mount Airy, he said, well, did he say that before or after he hit the home run? You know, he kind of laughed when he said it. He basically said it after he hit the home run. But, hey, it's great that Bryce Harper listened to WIP. But Rob Thompson, I mean, that was a bit of humor that you never expect from Rob Thompson. So, whatever the case. It was an interesting response quickly with what he said. I posted a tweet the other day, and I am amazed the responses. I guess I'm not amazed because people just never see it. I posted a tweet, and I actually put it on Facebook and Instagram, of Ohtani, the courtesy. I've heard so many, the observations of watching him and talking to people from the Angels about him. He's such a courteous guy, quiet, doesn't speak much to the media. He speaks to the Japanese media, I guess, a lot more than he does the American, not because he's a bad guy, just because with the interpreter, if he hits three home runs in a game, he's going to have to speak with the interpreter. But he's so courteous. But the thing that really I was amazed at and then noticed it, and posted it with a picture. When he walks, he waits for the bat boy, takes off all that body armor that all the hitters wear now, and hands that with his bat to the bat boy and thanks him. I have not seen any other player. Once in a blue moon, that's an old term, once in a long, 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 long while. It might happen by accident with a hitter. He does it every time. And I posted the picture, and there were so many great comments, and there were comments in Japanese too, because they obviously know about him and respect him. And the tweet, there was a lot of people that viewed it, and I got a lot of comments and tweet or X or whatever the hell you want to call it, and Facebook and Instagram. It was crazy, and it was nice to see all those responses from people where they just don't rip all the time. All right, let's take another call before we take care of business. And John, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Congratulations on your anniversaries this week.
It's amazing. Another one. It's just, well, it happened both in the same time when we flipped from AM to FM, and it was the anniversary of me on WIP doing the first show too. But it's all good. It's all good, and everything since has been terrific.
No, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about expectations with the Eagles, and I've listened all week. I've listened for the last few weeks. I've been a long time listener. I mean, my expectation for this Eagles team it's probably around 11 to 12 wins. And
I think that's realistic. I think that's realistic.
I mean, that may or may not be good enough to get you the bye in the first round, but let's make no mistake. This Eagles team is a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at 11 and 12 wins as a disappointment, you're wrong, because the schedule that we play is so much more difficult than last year. I mean, that's only going to prepare us more for the playoffs and prepare us more for the Super Bowl. So, I mean, everybody knows it's, you know, next to near impossible to get back to the Super Bowl the second year after losing. But I do believe this team can get there. But I also believe that, you know, expectations should be realistic so you don't get disappointed.
Well, there's nothing wrong with expectations, but 15 or 16 wins, it's like ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's just so hard, especially after the Super Bowl. I don't even think, I'll say this, Kansas City had 14 wins last year. I don't even think they're going back to the Super Bowl. That's how, and they've been there, what, three of the last 4 years? The year they didn't go is the year after they lost. It's really, really hard. And I don't know what team would be better than the Eagles that would go to the Super Bowl. I don't see a team that's better than the Eagles right now. But that's why you got to play the games. It's so difficult. And here's the thing. They didn't have any injuries last year. It wasn't like the Super Bowl 52 in 2017 where there was really no expectations they would go. Now that the expectations are high, the team can't get complacent. They got to be healthy, which was the case last year. They were healthy. The schedule's tougher. And that's why it's so tough in football, because you get a tougher schedule after you win. It's really tough. That doesn't mean they're not a really good team, and that doesn't mean they're not going to have a really good season. They are going to have a really good season. But the expectations, you got to realize it's really difficult.
Absolutely, and I think our roster rivals last year's roster, and it's probably just as good, maybe even better. But the second part of my question, Howard, what advantage should we expect from our new defensive coordinators for our staff?
What would you say, the expectations?
Yeah, like what should we expect as fans from, you know, our
he seems like he's a pretty sharp guy.
And
Sean Desai seems like he's a pretty sharp guy. But, you don't know, it comes down to the players. It comes down to making sure he knows the players he has and he uses them to the best of the ability, fine. But then the players have to do it. If they get a pass rush, they're going to be really good. And you would think Jordan Davis has grown up a little bit. Carter should be really good. Reddix, he's going to play the first game, I'm sure. And you don't know about Nolan Smith. He's got skills. It's really, if they get a pass rush, it helps everything else on the back end. So we'll see. But I don't know about Sean Desai, other than I think he seems like he's a pretty sharp guy. But it's hard to get two new coordinators. That's the other thing that we've kind of glossed over a little bit. Two in the same year. That's tough. I don't know how many teams do that. All right, John, your greatest Philadelphia sports moment.
My greatest Philadelphia sports moment, and it's still talked about today, and it's practice. We're talking about practice.
Allen Iverson. That's actually in a different vein. That was an unbelievable sports moment. It really was. You know what? Just for laughs and giggles, I might have to dig that up and play that when we come back. All right. Thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. You got the numbers. You had the numbers before I even told you. We'll get back to the phones. I might have to play that Allen Iverson audio when we come back. There's so much to discuss today. We'll talk about it. Philly's got to get base hits, and it can't just be home runs. Tough game last night. But it fell into a pattern that's happened this year, and I'll talk about that when we come back to WIP. The time now is 8:23.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
94 WIP on a Saturday morning. Phillies again tonight. The Eagles, finally a real game. Finally. Next week in New England. And I will explain why the line has dropped. I called those geniuses on the midday show yesterday and tried to explain to them. It's like, oh, the line dropped. Okay, I'll explain that. And when Mark Lawrence is on, obviously we'll talk about a little bit the game next week and things to look for, but about college football today. He'll be on at 9:40. All right, and somebody brought up our question today for the $100 gift certificate for the Bruno Brothers. Was the greatest moment in Philadelphia sports something out of the box, but it was a great moment, was Allen Iverson's rant after the season, something I'll never forget because, like many of the things, I was there. Let's listen to AI going off. It's not silly. But the fact that he went off, that was a great moment. All right, let's go to Salvatore. Salvatore, you're on WIP from Deptford, New Jersey. Salvatore, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, Howard. How are you doing, my friend?
Good afternoon. It's good morning. Come on, man.
Oh, you know, I've been working overnight, so I guess it's kind of my afternoon, my friend. Sorry
okay.
about that. But nice to hear from you again. We talk every so often. Hey, I got a quick question, you know, sure. about the Eagles, right? You know, I agree with the 11 to 12 wins, and that's barring, you know, personnel, you know, not key personnel not getting hurt.
Right.
Last
sure.
year, our record, you know, was 13 and 4, and nobody got hurt. And secondly, our star players did pretty well. And we didn't play the teams that we're going to be playing. What do you think about that?
Well, injuries are a big part of it. There's no question. Injuries are a big part of the success of a season. And everybody has injuries. The Eagles yep. basically didn't really have any last year to keep players out of the games. Very limited. And that's important. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do, especially 2 years in a row, and you've played more games than anybody else. It's... and you don't want injuries, and you guard against it, you know, and they really don't practice that much. We talk in practice, but they don't practice that much. They don't have to worry about it.
Right,
Well, yeah, they do have to worry about it because players get injured in practice too. It's part of the game, and it's certainly it's something you try to guard against, and you try to do the best you can. And then if the player does get hurt, you try to make sure he gets the best care, which the Eagles do have as far as rehab. So, yeah, it's an unknown. It's an unknown. That's the difference between good and not as great, is the unknown is, are they going to be overconfident? I don't think so. I don't think they're that kind of team, and they guard against that. Are there going to be injuries? The schedule. I mean, we know about the schedule, but we don't know how they're going to handle the schedule. So there's a lot of factors. There really is.
Yeah, conditioning. That's why Robbie Sirianni doesn't play his players, his key players during the year. You know what I mean?
Well, he plays them during the year. He doesn't play them during the preseason.
Preseason, that's what I meant to say.
Right, yeah, okay. So did you want to say something about the Phillies?
Yeah, just one thing. I think our issue is our bats are good one time, our starting pitchers are good at one time, and then our bullpen is good at one time. You know, obviously our hitting's doing well. Our starting pitchers are coming together. Our two supposed aces, Wheeler and, we know how we all feel about Nola. But now it's our bullpen. I think if all three of those can connect, going into the end of September and October, I think we'll do fine. We'll get to the big show again if that happens. What's your opinion on that?
Well, certainly. I mean, yeah, if everything is good like that, they have a chance. I'm not a fan of the way their offense exists. It exists on home runs. I pointed out earlier in the show, I don't know if you heard it, out of the first six hitters, they only had two hits. They were both home runs, the first two batters. You can't just exist on home runs. And I know they lost on an error last night, but that's just an anomaly. And the fact that they probably shouldn't have won when they only get two hits out of the first six batters. So that's where they got to score runs with moving players around the bases, not just hitting home runs. All right, what's your greatest sports moment?
Well, I had two, but I can only say one, right?
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say it because it was a pivotal time in the game, and I think once we did that, that I knew we were going to win.
All right, and what was
the Super Bowl? That was the Philly Special.
Philly Special. Okay. All right. And that was a great sports moment. There's so many of them, and that certainly was a great sports moment. All right, Salvatore, thanks for the call. All right, let's go to John. John in Manayunk. You're on WIP.
Howard, what's up, buddy?
You tell me.
Nothing much. I have the greatest caller ever. I think you liked him, Levi from Overbrook
Levi
Park.
Levi was the best caller ever on WIP.
You got to play when
he thought
his
he was
Arthur.
He
to
thought
one
he
time.
Was a coach. He thought he was everything, but he was funny. He was good. He didn't just dwell on himself. So Levi was really good, and Levi obviously has a lifetime of being really, really good. And Chuck from Mount Airy's good, but his 15 minutes of fame now has only about 45 seconds left. But Chuck's good. But Levi was, in my opinion, and there was some, over the years I've had some great callers and people may remember them, idiots, which, create some humor. But Levi was amazing.
Yeah, I want to talk about something a little off the wall here. Week, Ben Simmons said he wants to get traded back to the Sixers. You think he's just trolling or what?
I think he's just kind of reaching out. I think his brother still lives in the area, still lives in the Philadelphia area. So, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing for him. But he's got to resurrect his career. I don't know if he can. I don't think he's ever going to be a shooter. But he's got to learn how to play the game better than he did. As athletically skilled as he is, he's got to learn how to play the game better. And There's geniuses in afternoons, John Marks and Ike Reese, put me on the spot, and they said, you know, they called me up. I was actually waiting outside the Angels locker room to go in, and they called me up and they said, would you take Ben Simmons for James Harden? Well, nobody's going to make that trade. You know, the Nets aren't going to, they don't want James Harden back. I mean, who, maybe one team wants him, the Clippers, but they're not going to give you anything for him. But would I take Simmons over Harden? I'm not going to, you know, the trade would never happen. Yeah, because at least you have a chance with Simmons, with Nick Nurse, who I think is going to say, this is the way you have to play. And you're going to take some coaching and you're going to do it. And I don't think Simmons is all that good, but I think, you know, I think James Harden has already fallen off the cliff and he's ready to go kaboom at the bottom of that cliff. I don't want James Harden. I don't want him a little bit. I don't think he's a winner. His skills have eroded. He's not as good a player, but it's not like I'm banging the door for Ben Simmons, but who would I rather have? I think there's a chance with Ben Simmons. There's no chance with James Harden. Now, I don't know what the chance is with Ben Simmons, but you know, it's kind of a faint, it's not even praise. It's faint, whatever. All right. What is your biggest Philadelphia sports moment?
Well, I was going to go Eagles, but I think I'll go Phillies in 27, but was when they won the World Series.
But you mean the last out? You're talking about Brad Lidge?
Yes, yes. He finished the year perfect as a closer.
Right. Yeah, he was perfect as a closer. Amazing. Amazingly, as amazing as it sounds. All right, John, thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. Levi was the best, in my opinion, he was the best caller ever. I remember getting Levi and around the holidays. Levi and Arthur. Arthur must be in jail again. Levi and Arthur to have a sing-off of Christmas carols. it was hilarious. But Levi, may he rest in peace. We'll never forget Levi. But I think he was the best. 215-592-9494. Again, that's my opinion. You may have yours. And we'll get to those. And Eagles predictions. 15 wins is ridiculous. So let's get real when you predict. But we're going to play football for real. Can you imagine that? We're going to play football for real next Sunday. For real in New England. And right now, I'll check the latest line. I believe the Eagles are 3.5-point favorites. Down from 4.5, but I'll explain that too. I'm Howard Eskin. The time is now 8:39.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
94. It is WIP. 12 years ago today is when we at WIP made the flip. It was a Friday before the holiday weekend. obviously the holidays, and everybody should make sure they travel safe. People don't want to hear it, but technically it's the last weekend of summer. People are going to get it out of their system. Well, they won't get it. September still has some good weather days left. But all right, last night the Phillies lose. And they lose for a few reasons. I mean, you could say it was the error by Boehm. You could say it was the bullpen. There's a lot of things that you could look at. But they don't score unless they hit home runs. It's fun to watch players hit home runs. So there were two moments in last night's game. Let's listen to both of them. Phillies are down in the eighth inning. And then I believe there was there two outs when Trey Turner came up. And let's listen on the call of that big hit. And that's great until the bottom of the eighth inning. And you can't walk people, and Alvarado he's just not the same pitcher. And I don't know who your closer is anymore. I mean, it's Kimbrel, but I don't have as much confidence in him either. He's starting to leak a lot of oil. But here's what happened in the eighth inning with two outs.
And the pitch. Hit on the ground to Alec Boehm, and it's underneath his glove. A run is going to score. Two runs will score. And now they're thinking about sending the third. Here comes the throw to the plate, and it is not in time. They might want to check that, but at the moment, three runs across. And Alec Boehm right under the glove. And it is 7-5 Brewers here in the eighth.
Yeah, they checked it. He was safe. How about them scoring three runs on an error? You know, I know it's two outs, so the runners are going. But that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen either. But you got to score runs with base hits. You can't just live on the home run. And the bullpen's got to. Hey, listen, the Phillies are a playoff team. I think they can win the first series in the playoffs. And then after that, it gets a little bit tougher. But we'll talk about it. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the phones. And let me see who we got here. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Congratulations on a nice run here.
Yeah, and, it's not over yet. 37 years from the beginning, and then 12 years ago when we made the flip, and today is the actual anniversary of that flip on September 2nd, 2011.
Well, please hang in there with us and don't jump ship like Spike. We need you here. So,
He jumped off a couple of ships, but that's okay.
Were you the pioneer, am I correct, with the remote broadcasting sports radio shows?
I'm trying to think. I did an FM station before I came to WIP, and I had a break there with television and did FM part-time.
Yeah,
I might have done a remote then, but we did remotes. I tell you, one of the greatest moments that I've had is when Steve Carlton and Ted Williams, think about those two guys in today's world coming to a remote. Did a remote. I remember where it was. It was at the Coliseum, and I guess the Coliseum still exists in Voorhees. I don't know if it still exists or not, or whether they call it the Coliseum. They both came out for my remote, and they had never met each other. But I don't know if I was the pioneer, but there weren't a lot of them done before that. The technology now is so good. It's easier to do remotes. And by the way, next week, I'm back at the Borgata on Saturday morning. So I'm looking forward to seeing people there. Start of the football season every year, I'm back at the Borgata. But I don't know if I was the pioneer with remotes, but I was one of the few that did remotes back in the day. Yes.
So that interview with those two, would you say that was your favorite interview?
With who?
So far. Between Ted Williams and Steve Carlton, would you say that's
on a remote, that was really, I used to get Barkley and Mahorn when they were funny as hell to come out to remotes, and it was one of the most memorable because they had never, it was 1991, they never met each other. I mean, how about that? These two guys, two iconic Hall of Famers never met each other. Is that amazing?
That's really cool.
You know, I got along with Carl. I got along with Carlton really well. And Ted Williams, I met for the first time, and then I got, you know, he enjoyed himself so much that I saw him again on Saturday. I think that was on a Thursday. And he said, "Hey, if there's anything I can do for you, I really had a good time." I remember it as much. But I've had a lot of different people on the air, but not a lot of big time. Although Sugar Ray Leonard has come to remotes, and, you know, I've done so many, but that was one of the, I'll say that's one of the top.
All right. Great. Well, I know there was a caller, and he thought he was a baseball genius, and I forget his name, but you and him used to go at it all the time, trying to
the guy that called himself Baseball George.
Guy that called himself Baseball George. Yeah, it was funny listening to you and him. You know, just.
Well, he thought he was brilliant.
He had all the answers. That was great. But hey, with the Eagles, they look good. But again, you mentioned with the two new coordinators, that's going to be hard, I think, with trying to keep everybody on the same page, maybe.
What do you mean? Well, I don't know if
just, the coach, you know, making sure everybody does the right things, lined up correctly, and you know, new atmosphere for everybody. The two coordinators.
Yeah, well, I'm not. Well, it's going to be different. It's going to be different.
So, my favorite moment, and I think this is real important because he did it without being on any drugs, is Mike Schmidt's 500th home run.
Yeah, that was a good one. There's no question that was a good one. All right, I'll put you in the mix. And that not only gave the Phillies the lead, and it was, I think, the seventh or eighth inning, but they actually won the game. So that was a good one. I will absolutely put you in the mix. And thanks for the call. All right, Steve, let's go to Joe. Or is that Joe or Jim? Joe, you're on WIP.
Howard.
Yes.
Good morning. Actually, a few comments regarding the Phillies and Eagles. First, yep. The Phillies, strikeouts and home runs. They don't believe in small ball. Walks kill you. Walks to me are base hits, and that's how Milwaukee won last night. And regarding the Eagles, there's no about me or I. They say the team, this and that, so it comes down from the coach all the way down to every player, so I applaud them for that. And thirdly, the moment to me, and I'm old. 1971, Rick Wise pitched a no-hitter against the Cincinnati Reds and hit two home runs in that game. One training to St. Louis for Steve Carlton, and that was it.
What was that again? Which one was it?
The moment when Rick Wise threw a no-hitter against the Cincinnati Reds in 1971.
I want to say, was that 1971?
Yes.
Yeah, because he was in the trade for Steve Carlton after that.
Yes, mm-hmm, correct.
Boy, people aren't going to remember that, but yeah, but there's been no hitter since. But that was a great moment. Do you remember who fielded? You remember who fielded the last out?
Good question. I don't remember.
I think it was John Vukovich. May he rest in peace.
I think you're right.
I think it was John Vukovich.
Yeah.
But I'll put you down. I don't know if that's going to win, but it is a great moment.
Yeah, hitting like two home runs and pitching a no-hitter in the same game. That's remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. But those are moments, but that was a game. It wasn't a specific moment. The last out was a moment. The home runs were, but it was multiple moments. But it's kind of in the mix. Hey, Joe, I appreciate the call. Thanks. Let's move on and let's go to Vince in South Philly. Vince, what's up?
Hey, Howard. Good morning. Yeah, I do remember that no hitter. In fact, Vukovich caught the line drive from Pete Rose to end the game. That's what I remember vividly about it. Regarding the game last night, yeah, I'm concerned about the fact that the offense still occasionally relies on the home run too much, and it gets incredibly frustrating. And to me, what made that Bohm error really brutal was that you know, when he missed the ball, I mean, the ball only went, like, you know, in the foul territory. It didn't go, like, say, all the way up into the corner kind of thing. I'm just amazed it cleared the bases. I mean, that's what blew my mind.
That is amazing. Now, there's two outs, so the runners are going. But somehow, somebody's got to get to that ball a lot quicker. And we know what the situation is. That's almost unacceptable to have three runs score on an error by the third baseman. When you really break it down, think about that. That's mind-boggling. Now, in left field, it wasn't Schwarber. So, Cave was in left field, and obviously is better than
Cave,
Schwarber.
Yeah.
So, maybe you kind of relax when you see the ball hit, and then it takes a while to get to it. That shouldn't happen. Well, the error shouldn't. There's a lot of things that you look at the game. The bullpen didn't do their job. There's a lot of things.
Sure.
Alvarado walked two guys. He only gives up one earned run out of the four, but he still walked two people. And that's not in one third of an inning. That's not good. That's not good.
But by the way, Howard, I don't know, you know, when you talk about, like, your experiences with all the callers and, you know, the talk about being at a remote where Steve Carlton and Ted Williams will meet for the first time. I mean, did you ever consider writing a book about your career as a sports talk show host
In everything, because I got a job. My job's in television. I never applied for a job in TV. And that was kind of interesting, too, that I never applied. But, yeah, I got a TV job having never worked television. To answer your question, yes, and I've been thinking about it for a while, and there's a couple of publishers that have had interest, and I'm working on finding a writer with me for the book, and it will get done, and I want to do it sometime. I want to start on the project sometime in the next 6 months for sure.
Okay. My guess or my greatest moment – I still think that Dr. J running slam over Michael Cooper was probably the best dunk he ever had as a Sixer. And to me, like, I never get tired of watching that highlight, even though it was like 40 years ago. And that was their championship year, unfortunately, the last time they won it all. But that moment, I mean, it's still amazing. And I attended the game, fortunately, and I was in, like, the opposite end, and I couldn't even tell how great that dunk was until I saw the replay. So, wow, it's amazing, you know, to cuff the ball like that and just, like, you know, I mean,
there are a lot of great Philadelphia moments, and that's one of them. Vince, you're in the mix. You're in the mix. There was a lot of great moments from Dr. J, who, by the way, is the only doctor in Philadelphia. That's why I called Rivers Glenn Rivers and not Doc, because Julius Erving's the only doctor in Philadelphia. Come on now. That's please. So let's get that straight. All right, 215-592-9494. I get another highlight that we have talked about that I will take care of when we come back. Eagles wins this year. Is anybody as delusional as the two delusional people that had the Eagles win in 15 and 16 games? And not that they're going to be, the Eagles are going to be very good, but that's a lot of wins. That's really, really tough. We'll deal with that. Phillies last night. Phillies got to know how to move people around the bases and not just live on the home run. But and the greatest sports moment in Philadelphia to win the $100 gift certificate for the Bruno Brothers. The time now is 8:57.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Start of hour number two, and sad note, I'm going to check and see what his age was. Jimmy Buffett passed away, I guess it was yesterday or late yesterday. Another great icon in music, Jimmy Buffett, may he rest in peace, little Jimmy Buffett there. So always sad to hear when somebody passes away, and especially somebody iconic like Jimmy Buffett. All right, there are some great moments in Philadelphia sports, and somebody already came up with this one, and let's play it. And I remember exactly where I was when this moment happened in Philadelphia sports. All right, Ben, go with it. It was a great, great, great moment. And the fact that it was a 3-0 count, and sometimes players get anxious with a 3-0 count. But where I was, it was 1987. I was sitting in my car because I know Schmidt was coming to bat, listening to the radio and Harry Callis doing the game. And I was ready to watch my son play Little League baseball, Aston Little League. And that was the son that has gone to New York. I was ready, but I stayed in the car and heard that. And I freaking knew exactly where I was. When moments like that happen, you kind of remember where you are. By the way, at one time, and I don't know how many times, it couldn't have been many, my son faced Ben Davis in the Aston Little League. Ben could throw hard then, too. All right, let's go back to it. That was really a great, great moment. All right, let's go to Richard in Lansdale. Richard, you're on WIP. Richard? Okay, Richard didn't hang on. Let's go to Paul in Havertown.
Morning, Howard.
Morning. How are you?
Good. As far as, you know, happy anniversary and another milestone, one of the things that, as far as you, is I like how you are always asking those hard questions and willing to put yourself in difficult positions, even, you know, with the Eagles who you cover. And it's just always nice to hear when you're going to ask a question, because you know it's going to be something that the fans definitely want to know, regardless of how comfortable it is.
The media's changed. And listen, it's never easy ask those questions. I saw Nick Nurse the other day after he threw out the first pitch, and I actually was I walk every day, and somebody was driving by. He says they played that question to Nick Nurse, and I loved it about James Harden, and I loved it. And you got it. I mean, I waited and waited for somebody to ask the question. And Nick Nurse obviously remembered that, and I saw him, that was at his news conference when he was named the head coach. I saw him the other day, and just to bust his chops a little bit, and he knew I was doing that. I had talked to him for a little while before that. I said, by the way, how's James Harden doing? There was no response, which obviously I didn't ask it for a response. But there are times when questions need to be asked. And believe me, it's not always easy for me to do it. People think, oh, yeah, just I'm busting the guy's chops. No, it's, but that's
no,
part
you put yourself
of what
in
you
difficult
do.
Spots, and that's you do it with management too, which is always, you know,
well, the thing is, there's questions. Fans want to know the same thing. I'm asking the questions that fans want to know, and I want to know. I mean, it's just, I mean, what's so hard about doing that? But there's a lot of media people, and they'll deny it. And that they're most of them are pretty nice people, but they just don't ask those questions because they're afraid somebody won't talk to them. They're always going to talk to you, whether you ask those questions or not, because you're doing your job. I go back to Allen Iverson, and we got along the first few years that he was here, cause, you know, and I would tell him things that I think, as far as being the person he could be, we talked about a lot of things. And then he jumped on me because those people that were around him, the posse, as they called him then, told him, don't listen to that guy. So we had some tough years. And now whenever he sees me, and I posted the picture on Twitter, Twitter X, whatever the hell you want to call it. I still call it Twitter. I posted the picture there on Facebook where Allen Iverson was hugging me every time he sees me. He said, man, I love you. It's just, but he knew, and we talked briefly about it a couple of times, he knew I was doing my job.
Right. And respect comes from that.
What's that?
And respect comes from that.
Yeah, right. So, you know, when you ask the questions and He was mad at me the last few years. But whatever. You know, you got to do your job. You got to do your job.
As far as the Eagles, you know, as much as I like the optimism of the, you know, 13, 14, 15 wins, I think Vegas got it right with, what is it, 11 and a half? But
yep.
I think
that's right around the number.
What's wonderful about when you do pick it before the season, every game matters as far as, you know, whether if you bet it or regardless of how you look at it, you know, so that every game matters. And I think it's going to definitely come down to, you know, that last games of the season to get that above that 11 and a half number, you know, depending on where they are with the playoff run, because hopefully that's not even an issue as far as them getting to the playoffs. But as far as getting that first place or second place or whatever the case is, as some home field advantage, I think that's going to be a little more of a struggle this year than we all want to admit.
Nobody wants to admit it, but it's tough. It's tough to come back and duplicate, when, especially the year that the Eagles had. When's the next time they're going to win 14 games? Now, eventually it's going to be 18 games, but still 14 is going to be a tough number. It's going to be,
when is that
Kansas
happening?
City's not getting 14. They had 14 last year, too. They're not getting the 14. They are not.
Is there really going to be another regular season game and they're going to reduce? Is that a real thing? I haven't heard much about
that. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. They're going to, they don't even, why waste your time with the preseason games? No, they don't even, so I think there's going to be 18, but you got to even the schedule out. Last year, the Eagles had 9 home games and 8 road. This year, it's 8 home and 9 road. You got to even it out. And I think there's going to be 18. I think everybody understands that. There's going to be 18 games.
Is this being talked about, or is this just you thinking it?
What's that?
Is this being talked about?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just don't hear it.
Well, you don't hear it because it's not part of the conversation right now. But when we get after the season or close to the end of the season, yeah, it's been a conversation. It has been discussed. It has been discussed. So, all right, what's your greatest Philadelphia sports moment?
You know, Howard, there's so many good sports moments, and you're playing all of them. I'm going to kind of go a little off script here and say Kelsey's speech after the Super Bowl win.
You know what? That is a great moment, Paul. That is a good one. Hey, thanks for the call. We're going to have to dig that up. Bill, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. Today's a great day.
Yes, it is.
I'm looking forward to this weekend. So
why is that? Because it's the holiday?
Because it's a holiday, because I think the weather's going to be really good.
Yeah.
We're getting into football now.
Yep. Yeah, college football today. Yep.
Yep. So on the Eagles, on top of the fact that, yeah, they have a tough schedule just in team-wise what they play, also the way the NFL scheduled during the times they play. Like, there's only 2 1 o'clock games.
Well, and that's a good point. Their schedule, their times, Monday night games and Sunday night games. The toughest part of their schedule, and it's not till after the bye, Kansas City on Monday night, Buffalo at home, San Francisco at home, Dallas Sunday night, and then at Dallas, and then at Seattle. That is a brutal way to end that stretch of the schedule.
And the Buffalo and San Francisco games are not 1 o'clock times. They're later. So they're always spotlighted in the NFL for the whole year, the way it's set up right now.
It's crazy.
And they're going to have to contend with that on top of everything else.
Well, that is not the schedule, the times, the national games. It's not easy. Not easy. All right, what's your greatest Philadelphia sports moment?
It was the last pass that went incomplete from Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in 2017, because finally we got a Super Bowl. Finally, I don't have to think of the Eagles as an also-ran. And ever since then, I've had a better feeling about being a Philadelphia Eagles sports fan.
That's a good one. That is a good one. I agree with you. That is a good one. All right. you are in the mix for sure. You're in the mix. So, and I appreciate the call. All right, let's go to that was Bill, right? Let's go to T. T in Collegeville. What's up, T? T? T didn't hang in. You got to hang in. All right, Tom, down there in Alabama. What's up, Tom?
Howard, how are you, man? Congratulations.
I've never had a bad day in my life, Tom.
Hey, man, thanks for taking all the calls over the years. Thanks for taking this one. Congratulations. I hope we have many more is all I can tell you, brother.
Yeah, well, I plan on it, so let's do it.
Hey, I appreciate it. You know, last night, why I got so frustrated is you lose a game in baseball over 162, you lose a game, but then the way you lose a game. And I said from the beginning of the year, he looked like Bohm on that play, that he was playing first base. They did not do him any favors by sticking him on first base, and then he's back on third base Thursday night.
That's easy. You know, listen, that's part of it. I mean, he's got to play both. Other people do that. I mean, he's got to catch the ball, but, you know, it's not all his fault. I mean, Alvarado can't walk two people.
Yeah, but it's fundamental baseball, okay? It's a ground ball. Like, he's worried about getting the third, which is not the play. The play is to throw the first, okay? That he's thinking, I think he was thinking about going to third base and beating the runner. I don't know what he was thinking, but it was terrible.
He was probably thinking about going to first base for the third base for the last out.
That's not the play on that play, not for a professional. A professional is going to go to first base.
You know, when you're out there, you feel it. I'm not going to – he's got to catch the ball. The bottom line is he's got to catch the ball, and that's the bottom line.
The bottom line is we got 8 days, and then I could probably get a little bit of sanity back. There's a ton of national games. It's probably a record for the Eagles. I'm not even going to get the NFL ticket because it'd be, you know, I don't know. It's pretty expensive. But, you know, they need to start strong, you know, not 1-1, hopefully 2-0. And go week by week, but I'm really excited to see about Carter. They had a good draft. You know, a couple people got hurt in the preseason, but, you know, I still think that losing T.J. Edwards is going to hurt a little bit because I really liked him. But, you know, Smith, Devontae, he's going to have a breakout year, I feel like.
I think he's already broken out. I think he's the best receiver on the team.
I got you. I'm with you. I mean, he's the fastest, I can tell you that. He's probably the fastest guy on the team.
For sure.
I feel like they need to utilize him a little bit more and, you know, play him, you know, get that ball to him a little bit more this year than they did. Well, and mix it up right in the middle and throw the ball a little bit more.
I'm not so sure about that. And the reason I'm not so sure about that is because you have so many good receivers. Dallas Goedert. It seems like he's always going to be open. Always.
I'll tell you, no, the thing about him that's so great is he's physical. You know, Ertz was a great tight end, but this guy's physical. He'll run you over. And he's another one, too, where if he goes ahead and steps up here, and, you know, do you think there's any chance they might run a two tight end set for a little bit?
Well, there's all different kinds of offensive formations. Yeah, I mean, they will run a two tight end set. They traded for a tight end. Not that they're going to keep all four. They still have to sign a punter. And that's obviously going to happen this week. And then somebody's got to come off that roster, and I think one of the tight ends will. But they're still going to – there's going to be times when they have a tight end offense. All right, what's your greatest Philadelphia sports moment?
When Jake Elliott hits, I believe it was a 46-yard field goal in Super Bowl 52, that was the first time when I said to myself, this might come to fruition. The heavens, the gods, it might just happen here right now.
All right. Well, I don't know if that'll win, but that is one of those moments in that Super Bowl. Thanks for the call. 215-592-9494 are the numbers. But there are so many moments. So many moments, and we haven't even gotten, and we could probably do 2 days of those moments. 2 days. And after Bryce Harper's 0 for 4 last night, I think, you know, that was a great moment the other day, but that's not one of the top, that's not even in the top 10 That's not even in the top 10. We come back. You know, somebody mentioned the Kelce speech at the Art Museum after the Super Bowl parade. We got to play a little bit. We got to play a little bit of that. And I got to do that. Let me see if I can squeeze another call. And let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Hi.
Hey, I was thinking about Reese Hopkins, the first baseman.
Yep.
I think they're going to re-sign him.
And here's what, well, here's why I doubt. I put less than 50%. If it was just up to Reese Hoskins, I think he would do it. But his agent is Scott Boras. And Scott Boras is going to want a multi-year contract at obviously big numbers. And I don't think the Phillies are going to be prepared to do that, knowing that they have other. If Bryce Harper's your first baseman, then what are you going to do? If Bryce Harper says, I'm going to be your first baseman, then what are you going to do? And then because Scott Boras is the agent, I think he's going to get – I think San Francisco could be a pretty pretty good guess on where he could end up. He lives in that area. I think he's building a home out in that area. So I'd like to see Reese Hoskins back. I think that's the biggest miss in their lineup is Reese Hoskins. But I would say it's less than 50%, I think, that he's coming back.
Yeah, I was thinking you put him at first and you put Harper back in right field.
Yeah, but I think it's easier to get an outfielder than it is to get a first baseman. And if Harper wants to play first base, he's going to play first base. And I don't know what he's going to want to do. Whatever he wants to do is what they're going to do. I mean, that's the way it works with Bryce Harper. Heck, he helps the general manager. I want this player and I want this player and you should sign this player. And
Bryce Harper wants to play first base, sign Reese to play first.
Well,
that might happen.
They're not going to sign into a long-term contract. Not after the injury. Give him 1 year.
That goes for other teams too, though.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Because the Phillies have places there. I like Reese Hoskins. And
yeah,
people didn't. I like him. All right, what's your greatest Philadelphia sports moment?
All right, now you're going to have to make an executive decision because I think your producer is too young for this. But you'll remember this. And you also remember when the heavyweight fight, championship fight, was the biggest thing in sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Joe Frazier fought Muhammad Ali in the first fight in Philly at the Spectrum, and he knocked him out.
Was that his first fight? Was that the first time he fought Ali was in Philadelphia?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
I'm surprised. And Frank Sinatra was there taking pictures for Life magazine.
Oh,
that was the biggest thing going back then.
Well, Joe Frazier and Ali were big moments. But Ali won that fight, right?
No, he didn't. Frazier won the fight.
Oh, Frazier won the first one.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
That's why it was so big.
I remember Frazier and Ali, and I remember he won one of them, but I didn't know which. I forgot which one it was.
Yeah, he won the first one.
Jim, I'll put you in the mix there. You got it.
Thanks a lot.
All right, 215-592-9494. We come back. I got to listen to Kelce again. I got to listen. That was such a great, great moment. The time now is 9:21. Oh my gosh, I can't get enough of I know people get on me for this. I can't get enough of Taylor Swift, but there's a reason I played a little Taylor Swift here. Yeah, I'm a Swiftie, but there's a reason. She's coming out with a movie, and it is so big. Now, 13's her lucky number, so it's on Friday the 13th, it's coming out. Exodus was supposed to premiere on that date. They moved Exodus to the week before because they didn't want to compete with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, as soon as the tickets went on sale for the theaters, sold 26 million tickets. 26 million tickets. They're affordable for adults and for kids. She is, without question, the best entertainer in the world today. It's not even close. Now, you can like or dislike Taylor. You can say whatever you want about Taylor Swift. That was, it's just, it's amazing. It really is. And she's so talented. All right. By the way, let me just back up here. Jim, I didn't think that Frazier and Ali fought at the Spectrum, and they did not. They fought at Madison Square Garden. So that's out. I hate to break the news to you, Jim. That's out because they did not fight at the Spectrum. So it was at Madison Square Garden. So now that we got, I don't think they ever fought at the Spectrum. I mean, I think Frazier at one time fought at the Spectrum, but I don't know that Ali ever fought at the Spectrum, but whatever the case may be. All right. One of the great moments, the Mike Schmidt home run was a great moment. There's so many great, people have come up with so many, the Allen Iverson practice. This is a hard choice, but the Kelsey speech was a moment, and let's relive that a little bit. On the steps of the Art Museum, I was there, you were there. It was after the Super Bowl parade. Jason Kelsey.
Brandon Graham was drafted too high. Vinny Curry ain't got it. Bo Allen can't fit the scheme. Michael Cummings can't fit the scheme. Nigel Bradham can't catch. Jalen Mills can't cover. Patrick Robinson can't cover. It's the whole team.
And then he killed, somewhere in there, he killed Mike Lombardi. He killed Mike Lombardi, who I talked to, and he's on WIP. I assume he's on again this year. Jason Kelsey, that was a more than a moment, but it really was a great, great moment. All right, let's go back to the phones. Mark Lawrence, by the way, is coming up at 9:40 to take a look at the college football today. I posted my picks. I had a good week last week, 4-1 with my picks. And the money that you donate goes to Brandywine Valley SPCA and Providence Animal Centers. So it's for a good cause. It's not that expensive. I try to do the best I can. And last year I had a really good year. Hopefully again this year. In the first week I put up picks, I was 4-1 last week. It's posted on Twitter and Facebook. So, and on my website, howardeskin.com. All right, let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on WIP.
Good morning. How are you doing? Yeah, everybody.
I've never had a bad day in my life. You know that.
Yes, that's true. Listen, I just wanted to, first off, congratulations on the anniversary.
Yeah, the second anniversary in a week. 37-year anniversary for the first show at WIP. And then the 12-year anniversary for when we flipped from AM, 610 AM to 94.1 FM.
It's great. You've been around for a long time, and it's just two of my favorite moments for you were the one guy, this is back in the days of once on the week and once on the weekend.
Yeah, right.
This one Kretchen, whatever you want to call him, kept calling just to abuse you, and you finally had enough of him, and you said, listen, every time you call now, I'm going to give out one digit of your phone number. And he just kept calling and calling, and you were giving out digits. And I got to admit, I was one of those guys who was writing down the numbers just to see how far it was going to go.
Well, how about this?
Somebody had called him? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I forget that part of it because, you know, I couldn't give out the number. That's not right. But Levi, who I think is the best caller that WIP has ever had, and may he rest in peace, I told him I was going to give his number to the coaches and give it to me. He says, on the air? He says, yeah, I won't tell anybody. And he gave me the number on the air. People loaded up his voicemail. People started calling him. It's just, yeah, I won't tell anybody. And he gave it on the air. It was great.
I'm sorry. My second favorite was when this one caller called up, and this is right at the time when they came out with the yellow line for showing the first down marker on TV.
Uh-huh. Right.
And somebody called up and said they shouldn't have that there, and you went into this whole diatribe about how, yeah, you agree that it was a tripping hazard. And it just cracked me up sitting there listening. This person had absolutely no clue what was going on.
Yeah, he believed that the yellow line was actually on the field.
It's all right, and my favorite sports moment was the perfect game pitched the 2008, I believe it was, or 7. Anyway, I'm driving home, and I actually had to pull over on the bypass and 30 bypass in Chester County just to listen to the last out or two. To listen, because I had never heard of a perfect. I never heard a perfect game.
Perfect game, yeah, Roy Halladay. Yep.
It was just, you know, magical. So I've never had to pull over for a sports moment before just to listen, and that was it.
All right, Mike, you're in the mix.
All right, listen, you have yourself a great day.
All right, you have a great day and a great weekend, Vic. You're on WIP.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Vic.
I'm talking about the Phillies. You know, I've been watching, listening to the Phillies for a long time, going back to the early 50s. Mm-hmm. And I've seen all these teams. But I'll tell you, this team is just so special. If I would think about this team, I just think they're so special the way they do things. Now, I do agree with you that I don't see them in the World Series this year. I mean, if they end up against the Cubs, that's going to be a tough series for them.
Yeah, I don't think they can face the Cubs. I don't know how that's going to play out, but unless things change.
Okay, because I'd be concerned about that. But I just see on this team, I mean, what happened when Bryce Harper hit his 300 home run?
Mm-hmm.
If I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would have said, no way the Phillies are going to lose that game. And they mm-hmm. did. They're pitching, you know, as you're saying, Kimball is leaking oil.
Yeah, he really is leaking oil.
Yeah. And last night, with the pitching at the end of the game, Trey Turner hits that home run. And I agree with you, you know, they're 2-for-6 with two home runs, the first six batters. But the point here.
No, they're two hits in the first six batters. It's more than 2-for-6. Yeah.
You're right. I'm sorry.
That's right.
So I guess that's really they have to clean some things up.
They have to hit with men on base, and it can't just be home runs.
Right. They don't steal. They don't bunt. Of course, a lot of teams don't do that today.
Well, yeah. It's not analytics.
They got so much speed.
Yeah.
They have so much speed on the bases.
Yeah.
And they're not taking advantage of that. So, but I'm just saying is
well, that they're not taking advantage because and now with the bases bigger, it's easier to steal. It takes a little bit of the arm out of Realmuto out of there. Things that have changed, but because they strike out so much, they swing through so many pitches that they don't want to try to steal. It's a different game. All right, give me your greatest sports moment.
Okay, the question I have on the greatest sports moment, does it have to happen in Philadelphia?
It has to be a Philadelphia with a Philadelphia team, but not in Philadelphia.
Okay. To me, the greatest sports moment, this is a long time ago, was the 100th point of world champion, 1962.
Yeah. Unfortunately, none of us ever saw that. We never saw any real video of it. But 100, that is a great sports moment. And I don't know that it's going to win, but because we didn't get in today's world. You kind of see everything. But anyway, I appreciate it, and you're in the mix. Let's go to Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Humble Howard, how you doing this morning, my man?
Terrific. Another day in paradise.
Exactly. Yeah, the reason why nobody saw or is not a lot of tape of that Chamberlain moment is I believe that game was an alternate site, and there really wasn't any media coverage per se because of that, and because
it was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, so you know, there's a couple of still pictures, and I think
there's some film that somebody shot of the celebration afterwards, but nothing of the game, right?
Yeah, it's like a 30-second clip, and that's it.
Yeah, yep, I know.
So the real. And there must have been 25,000 people that saw that game in person, right?
Well, that's what they said. I think there was under 4,000 people that attended that game.
Yeah, and 25,000 people said they were there.
Yeah, so. You wanted to talk about the Eagles?
Yeah, these preposterous numbers, 15-2, 16-1. They're going to lose games they're supposed to win. They might win the game in Kansas City. I don't know. But
I think if I'm identifying one game, I think they win in Kansas City.
I'm not so sure they're going to win the first game against Belichick.
I think they win that game, but I think the second game could be tough. The first two games are going to be tougher than people think, but I think they beat Belichick. That quarterback stinks. Mac Jones stinks.
Until the last day of
December. They've only got 2 1 o'clock games, and they're both against Washington. They got all these primetime games because they went to the, you know, Super Bowl, and that makes a big difference in a player's psyche. All these
games. The difference, the travel. There's two West Coast trips. That's really, and the Seattle's going to be a good team, and to play them at the end of that five game stretch after playing Sunday night in Dallas, that's really, really, really tough. So
and
what's your what?
The last game of the season is in early January against the Giants, and there's no time on that because we don't know if it's going to be a relevant game or not.
Yeah, is it the Giants or is it no? The last game, I thought the last game was Arizona. Is it the Giants?
No, that's the last game of the year. I think they play the Giants the first week in January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't wait for that Arizona team to come in here.
Yeah. Hopefully that's not a night game and it doesn't mean anything. All right, what's your greatest sports moment, Dennis?
Well, it's not going to win, but it was a funny one, and I watched it. It was when Rowdy Roddy Piper almost choked you to death.
Yeah, I can't find the video of that because it was shot it on Channel 3.
Yeah, I watched that. I was watching that.
I wish I had the video. I wish I had the video. And I asked him a question.
Wasn't your son in the audience?
Yeah, we did it in a studio at an FM station I worked at. And he had me on the ground before I even knew it.
Yeah, I know he did.
It was just unbelievable. And I think my son was scared to death.
And that's all show. We know Rowdy Roddy Piper's.
Yeah, he was choking me with my tie.
Yeah. And by the way, let's pay homage to Jimmy Buffett, the head parrot. I actually saw him live at that Waterfront Stadium in Camden. He puts on a great show. He really does.
Yeah, it's just it's sad when we lose people like that. Hey, thanks.
I mean, he lived a great long life. Basically, he had two hit songs, and he got this cult following, and he sold out everywhere.
Yeah, I know. It's great. All right. Hey, Dennis, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, we'll come back with Mark Lawrence. The time now is 9:38. 94 WIP, it's college football. College football, pros next week, and to deal with all that wonderful, wonderful stuff that people get involved in, Mark Lawrence joins us every week. Mark, how are you this fine holiday weekend?
I'm just terrific, Howard. I hope you have yourself a real nice holiday weekend as well. Let's cap it all off, I should say, Monday with Labor Day, so it's college football time right now, though.
It's end of the summer. It's the end of the summer. That's going to depress people, too. It is what it is. But well, football.
Except for those of us in South Florida where we bake in the summer, okay? So.
By the way, Mark, I'm going to run something by you, and I don't know if you've looked at this, and I may have mentioned it to you. When baseball teams win four in a row, at least four in a row, and then the winning streak could be anything, four or more, and then lose their first game, they almost always lose two in a row. And it's 13 out of the last 15 times this year it's happened. It happened again last night. The Phillies were on a five-game winning streak, lost to the Angels the other day. Last night they lost their second in a row. It's 13. The only two teams that broke that were the Dodgers and Seattle. Is that amazing?
It is. It's also human nature, if you think about it, Howard. We call it snap win streaks. Mm-hmm. And it's regression to the mean after you've been on that ride, whether it's up or down. You're only human. If you've been on a winning streak and you finally lose, you're not as driven in the next game. You're more driven when you're on the streak to keep it alive. But it's amazing.
It's 13 out of 15. That's a pretty good number.
Yes, it is.
But again, it's not going to happen all the time. But so far, when I started keeping track of it this year, It's amazing. All right, let's get to the college football. A lot more games this week than last week. Who do you like?
Well, we're going to stay with our theme of teams that come back rich with returning starters or returning production, if you will, in that sense. And so far, it's fared out really well, concentrating on these 17 returning starter underdogs in their first game of the season back. We had a winning play with Connecticut, I believe it was Thursday night. And you've got a couple of them this weekend here that I think warrant looking at. The first is going to be South Alabama today, and they're playing a Tulane football team that had the greatest turnaround, or the best turnaround, I should say, of any team in college football last year. They went from a 2-win team to a 12-win team. And we just talked about regression, and that's usually what happens with teams that do just that. They come back to where they began. They come back to the norm. We can fade Tulane and use South Alabama, who happens to bring 18 starters back. They're a really nice under-the-radar type team. South Alabama plus
like?
The 6.5, yes.
Plus 6.5. All right, who else do you like?
The other guy, we're going to go with North Carolina, who isn't quite a dog. They're a small favorite, 2-point favorite here. But what I'm really liking here is two things. Number one, South Carolina is kind of full of themselves from the season they had last year. Yeah. Number two, the last time they played was in a bowl game 2 years ago, and South Carolina just pulled the rug out on North Carolina, beat them as a 13-point underdog in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So you can call this a Duke's Mayo Bowl revenge for North Carolina. But what makes the play work is they've got 18 starters back, does North Carolina, and a quarterback that we're going to see his name called in the NFL draft next year. First, second, or third pick of the draft, his name is Drake May. He's really, really good. And I think that gets the attention of North Carolina. So I'll lay the 2 or 2.5 in that game.
All right. I'm going to – two games, and based on the line, it seems like the line's telling me something. I always talk to you about this. Where Fresno State's only getting 3.5 at Purdue. And I know they're a good team. Which side – I mean, I kind of look at Fresno State a little bit. Who do you like?
Well, there is – there's Fresno State because they have some stability at the coaching level. Purdue's making a coaching change here this year. A new program, a new offensive coordinator, new everything goes in there for Purdue. So the number does come up a bit short here. But, you know, I can't make a real strong case to either side, but I agree with what you're saying here. You're saying only that short number here, and there's a reason that short number is there. Vegas knows what they're doing. They don't think Purdue is going to be all that much of a team. I don't think they're going to be a winning team this year. I don't think they're going to be a bowl team this year. So I think you have to back the coach and the points in that game.
I think USC went up 2 points. Now it's 36 to 38. Is Nevada that bad?
Yes, they're that bad. this is another healthy USC team, one with a game under their belt, two with 17 starters back from last year. And you know they're going to do everything they can to keep themselves in the college football playoff focus. Southern Cal will. Amazingly, Southern Cal is one of 9 teams that are playing today that are favorites of 30 or more points on the college football card today. It's just a mismatch of talent kicking off this football season this weekend.
All right, just an overview. What do you look for in the first week of the NFL?
Well, I'm going to look to fade success, if you will, teams that had highly successful football seasons. And they open up as favorites coming out of the gate to begin with initially. So the teams that you can see largely made the playoffs, the teams that went far into the playoffs, those types of things, especially when you have a football team that maybe played better than their record indicated last year or so. We're going to have a couple of guys on the fade list here this week. Now, one guy who played better than he looked last year, who I'll be fading all season long, is going to be the Detroit Lions, who they won more games last year than they did the previous 2 years combined. And all of a sudden the world has them in the playoffs, winning their division in the playoffs. And they even made them the feature game Thursday against the Chiefs on Thursday night. I don't know what that was all about, but nonetheless, I'll fade teams that looked like they were really good last year that came out of nowhere, or we'll fade these teams that went real far into the National Football League playoffs the first week.
Do the Eagles, they didn't come out of nowhere, but do they fit into that because they were favored on the road after the success they had last year?
Yeah, they fit into it for that and a couple of other reasons. You know, the big success that they met with last year, a lot of the reason of the success they met with, if you talk to analytical people, they'll say that they did go up against the easiest schedule in the league last year. This year they've got the toughest schedule in the league this year, so that's diametrically opposed, and it might be a little bit of a difference for them that way this year. And they're also, like Detroit, I think a very popular, targeted public team. So if the Eagles win this year and make it back to the Super Bowl, I will tip my hat to them because they're going to be really up against it. I know they're talented and they're supposed to win and they probably will, but I don't think they're going to win at the same rate that they did last year. That was really a great season for them.
All right. If people, and we'll have Mark again next week, if people have interest in Mark's services, 800-321-7777. and on the internet at playbooksports.com. Mark, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week as the Eagles get ready to play real football.
I'll look forward to it, Howard.
That garbage preseason stuff. All right. Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Howard. You do the same. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's see if we can get a couple more greatest Philadelphia sports moments, and we got to do this quickly. Bob, if Bob's still there. Bob, you're on
WIP. Good morning, Howard. Yeah, do you want my
I got to get you because I don't have much time.
The 18-game season, if they might want to regroup the divisions and have the teams play closer to the town.
We're not going to do it. They're not going to. Let's forget about it. Give me your greatest sports moment. Oh, okay. It's just all right. Let's go to Steve in Cherry Hill. Steve.
Hey, Howard. Good morning. My greatest sports moment is Bernie Perrant's kick save in the Holiday Classic celebrity game, which I think was for him. For watching that, just phenomenal.
Was that at the Citizens Bank Park?
It was at the Link. I can't remember which venue they did it, but it's when the NHL
did it in
the
Citizens Bank Park
outdoors.
When they did it at Citizens Bank Park. Okay.
Yeah, and it was just awesome if you remember that. The way he kicked save on, I don't know who hit the shot, but, you know, at his age, that was
I love
just
Bernie.
Awesome.
All right. You're in the mix. Mark from Woodbury Heights, you're on WIP.
One of the greatest moments in Philadelphia sports history, Howard, the build-up to it. Game 5, Houston Astrodome, Phillies down 3, eighth inning against Nolan Ryan.
Who never lost when leading after 7 innings.
What's that, Howard?
Who never lost when leading into the 7th inning.
No, yeah, unbelievable. And you know, if you followed the Phillies back then, they lost in the playoffs in 76, 77, 78. Looked like we were going down again, and they came back. That was unbelievable.
Okay, but here's the thing. I said moment, not game. So it's kind of – and I've kind of put it to
well,
moments.
To me, that eighth inning, that you know, that – I understand what you're saying, but that eighth inning, maybe the Manny Trio triple with the bases loaded, just was huge.
I think Pete Rose, did he score the lead run in that inning? I forget, but I remember Pete Rose scored. I don't know if it was the lead run.
Game four when he barreled over Bruce Bochy. That was game 4.
Oh, okay.
In game 5, Rose had a huge walk against Nolan Ryan, and then he stared him down as he went up first base.
Yeah, without Pete Rose, this team doesn't win a World Series in 80. All right, I appreciate the call, Mark. Have a great weekend. All right, Ben Kenny is taking care of things on the other side. We kind of talked about this, and let me just say before you tell me who your winner is, there's so many good ones. Allen Iverson, that's a moment because it was a news conference. The Mike Schmidt 500th home run, the Jason Kelce speech. I mean, we can go down the list of so many great moments. All right, Ben, who did you come up with?
Well, if we're excluding winning championships, which might be a layup.
Yeah, but that's not a moment. That's a game.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. I would go with Mike Schmidt's 500th, both for the play itself and Mike Schmidt, but also for Harry Callis and for the call.
All right, you know what? Let's play that again to let people get a taste of that again, if you have that there. Can you just throw that up there? All right, go ahead. It was, and I remember sitting in my car waiting for Mike Schmidt at bat. Sitting on 499, coming up. And the greatest part about that is it won the game. Now, Bryce Harper was a great moment the other night, but they didn't win the game. And that's what it's like when Fred Barnett, I think, caught that 99-yard pass from Randall Cunningham. All he talked about after the game was the pass, and they lost the game. You can't – you got to win the game to make it as special as it can be. And both of those were special. But Steve wins the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. Mike Schmidt's 500th home run is what Ben, you determined is. But there were so many good choices. You can't go wrong with any of them. So, Steve, you win the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. Check it all out at thebruno.com. Glenn McDowell and Sealski, are they next? Mike Sealski next? Okay. Everybody have a great weekend. If you missed the show, I will post it later on Twitter. And I just the people that responded to that that tweet I had about Ohtani, it's amazing. And I still think about the kindness of this guy and the observations, and I'll talk about it down the line. Observations of this with his, number one, he's the best player in baseball. But the courtesies he has to everybody and to hand all his stuff to the bat boy and thank him. I don't see that from any other player. And I posted that, and there was a lot of comments, even comments in Japanese with translations. It was amazing to think about it. And if you missed it, and it's a great photo, you can check it out on my Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Be safe. Enjoy this weekend. Be safe. Phillies tonight. Real football next week. Ben Kenny on the other side, and thanks to him. And we'll post the show in a little while on Twitter if you missed it on the podcast. WIP, and the time now is 9:57.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.